the reason why I like going to weddings. I personally am not a big schmoozing guy, although I can talk to walls and chairs at times. It definitely happens. But I go to weddings because it's exciting to see Rabbanim that I haven't seen in a while. So I was at a wedding on Sunday night, and at that wedding, I got to talk to a good friend of mine from back in the day, Rabbi Robinson. And then while we were speaking together, then Rabbi Keller, one of the Rosh Yeshiva's sons in the mirror, I didn't tell his yeshiva, I would assume he now is considered Rosh Yeshiva as well, came over to us and started talking to us. And he brought up Bithynian, and I felt like I had to speak about it because it was such a... He had some good marmikomos, and there was a lot to it. But it deals with also something that we spoke about last week as well. Chagiga da Pesamud Beis says the following. The Gemara says, Amalei bar heye lehillel. Bar heye says to Hillel. Yochanan bar ben Bagbag or bar heye, depends on how you look at the name, but it's Rabbi Yochanan. It says the following. Maidechsi vishavtem v'ra'isan ben tzadik l'rasha. You will go back and see the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, says the Gemara. Bein oved elokim, l'asher lo avdo, to one who serves a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the difference between that man and a person who doesn't serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Bar Heye said to Hillel, Hainu tzaddik, Hainu oved elokim. A person who is a tzaddik is the same thing as a person who serves a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hainu rasha, Hainu asher lo avdo. A rasha is a person who doesn't serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why does the pasuk have to mention both tzaddik and rasha, oved elokim? What's the pshat behind it? They're both tzaddikin gemurim, both of them. The one who serves the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the one who doesn't. The eino doma shona pirko mea pa'amim l'shona pirko mea ve'echad. There's no comparison to someone who learns his parak 100 times to someone who learns the parak 101 times. That somebody who goes over 101 times is considered that much greater. So the answer to the question is that there's a tzaddik and a rasha, and even within the tzaddik, there's an oved elokim that is a pure tzaddik, and an asher lo avado, which is not a pure tzaddik. That's the levels that we're dealing with. Amar lei. So Ben Bagbag said back to Hillel, Mishumchad dimna kari le lo avado, because of one time that he did something extra, one extra time, he's called, one extra time that he didn't do, I should say, he's called not serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu. On the way in, said, yes. Tzeil mad mishuk shochamarin. Go and see, you can prove this, from the marketplace where you find the donkey riders, the people who hire out donkeys to ride certain distances. You can see it from there. Asara parsi bezuzah. You want to rent them out for 10 parses, for the donkey to go 10 parses, it costs 1 zuz. Chadasar parsi. You want to hire him for an 11th parsa, trey zuzi. It costs 2 zuz. You see that extra parsa. You think, what's the big deal? I go 10 parses, I go 11 parses. What's the big deal? One extra parsa shouldn't mean anything at all. No, it costs double the amount. Double the amount. I paid for a car this morning to be by O'Hare Airport for it to sit there overnight. It was there for a day and 15 minutes. One day and 15 minutes. And instead of paying for one day, and then the equivalent of 15 minutes out of a full day, right, that would be 24 times 4, right, so we're dealing with 48, 96, 196 of however much it cost me, ended up being I paid for 2 full days. Should just left my car there. Right, but I ended up paying. That's what it is. Just that little one makes it that much greater. But that muscle is a little strange. The muscle that's given. I know I might compare it to the fact of my car, but I mean, the idea is so strange. A person who learns 100 times is great. A person who learns 101 times, he's not doubly as great. He's greater. I get that. But to be double as great with just one more time, that makes no sense. The idea of a chamar charging you a little bit extra is because you can say, up until there, I guess you can say, is the normal amount. You do anything extra, you're going to have to charge. I'm going to have to charge you for an extra amount. I get that. That's business practices. You pay for one day, you go over by just a little bit, you got to pay for 2 days. That I definitely get. But to say that someone learns 101 times, that makes you into an Obed Elohim. That makes you so much greater that you're double. One zuz just turned into two zuz. How did that happen? How does that make you twice as great according to our muscle? How does that make it happen in such a way? I would assume that a person who did such a thing, hey, what it should be in business practice is 1/10 of a zuz. What it should be in learning is, you do it 101 times, you are 1/100th greater than that person. You are 1% greater than the person who only did it 100 times. That's my understanding. But the way of looking at that seems strange as well. Then why deal with 100 and 101? Why not deal with 9 and 10? Why not deal with 1 and 2? You go over something once, you go over something a second time. What's the pshat that we're specifically saying 100 to 101? We're specifically saying 10 parsos to 11 parsos. Okay. The Nitziv in Merome Soda, it's a safer, that goes through that Talmidei Chachamim learned their Gemara 100 times. They would go through something 100 times normally. That's what they did. In order to memorize, you have to go through things again and again and again. You say it again to yourself and again to yourself. It's 101 times was one extra, one more than what they would normally do. Normally a person would do 100. You do 101, that makes you abnormal. That's the Nitziv's way of putting it. It makes you somebody who's different. You're willing to do more than the normal person would, which is great. That person shows you have avas haTorah. You're willing to do more than what's expected of you. Great. That 101st time makes you into a tzaddik Obed Elohim. That's how the Merome Soda puts it. The Chidush HaRim by Shabbos HaGadol has a piece in which he says that the first tzaddik doing it 100 times is Mikoach HaHergel. He's so used to doing it. That's what he's used to doing. That became part of his system. While somebody does it 101 times as being Mischadish, he's renewing himself, making himself a different person. That person's so much greater. Both the same type of idea. That 101 times makes you greater. Why does 101 times make you greater? Because it's different. You're doing something more. You're making yourself better. But doubly? That makes you doubly as great? That's a Chiddush. That it's even the Chiddush HaRim are saying. That's a Chiddush. But the Marsha points out something different. And it's a tremendous pshat. Tremendous pshat. There's a Gemara Psachim, Tzadi Gimel on the base, says the normal amount that a person can walk per day. If a guy went from the beginning of the day till the end of the day, if a person walks from the beginning till the end, he can walk 10 parsos. 10 parsos in a day. That's how much he can do. Give or take, that's 20 miles. Say something like that. It doesn't matter if that's what a person can really do, but in a normal day, says the Gemara of Sukkim, that's that. The Chamar is being hired for one day of work. 10 parsas costs 1 zuz. That's the normal amount that this guy would make per day if he was walking the normal 10 parsos that the guy's asking for. But this man is going up to this chamor, this driver, and he's asking him to do 11 parsos in a day. 11 parsos in one day. Says the Marsha, how is a person supposed to do 11 parsos in one day? You can't. Gemara says you can only do 10. How do you do 11? How does that happen? So what happens there? So what's the answer? The answer is, you have to try harder. You have to do it a little bit more. You have to put in more effort. It's the same amount of time. You're starting at sunrise, you're ending at sunset. One guy walks 10 parsos, but one person asks the Chamar to do 11 parsos. And the Chamar says, I need to charge you double. Why is he charging him double? He only has to go one extra parsa. Should charge him an extra 10. Says the Marsha, because every hour that I had to work, instead of doing one, let's call it the 8/10 of a parsa that was doing per hour, now each time I had to try a little bit harder. I don't just throw in the extra parsa at the end. I don't do this during my overtime. If the guy works harder for more hours of the day, of course he's getting paid more. That's not a shiloh. It's that I'm working the same amount of time, but I'm working harder during that time. The whole atmos of my work is completely different. Originally, I was working 10 parsos. I can do that in my sleep. That's fine. But now every parsa, I have to add on something different. Every step I take, I have to go a little bit quicker. I didn't just give you an extra parsa. I gave you a day of me working doubly as hard. Every hour was different by me. Every hour was different by my donkey. It's not that it was just one extra parsa. The whole day has changed. It's an amazing idea from the Marsha. It's not about adding on one parsa. It's about changing the entire day so that you can make it into 11 parsos. You can allow 11 parsos to be done in the same amount that you normally do 10. That's the pshat behind the Gemara. And that's why the Gemara specifically says that. The same idea. The Marsha doesn't say this, but it's obvious from his muscle. This is what he's saying. The same idea is applied to someone who's in learning. If someone spends, let's say, 100 hours going over a certain daf, and in each hour he does the daf once, okay? So he does 100 hours, 100 daf, and the same daf 100 times. And another guy spends 101 hours, and he's able to do 101 daf. You need to tell me that the second guy's better than the first guy? The guy put in an extra hour. Of course he did. So what's pshat? It's that in that 100-hour span of time, when a person can normally do 100 daf, this guy, this Oved Elokim, makes himself work harder the entire time. It's not that he throws in a daf at the end. Every minute of every hour that he spent is spent in order to make it that 100 times becomes 101. He didn't just add on one time of going over the daf. He went over every bit, every step of the way. He worked doubly as hard in order to make sure that he learned 101 daf in the span of time that it takes for him to do 100. That's the greatness of such a person. This person changed the whole metzias of where he is. See, we are limited in the amount of time that it takes me. No matter how well I know a daf, it's still going to take me 20 minutes to finish that daf. No matter how well I know it, even if I know it's so stark I can tell you everything on that page, it's still going to take me, let's say, 20 minutes to be able to finish off that daf and say it clearly and get it all down. I have a limitation. I can't go faster than that. I can't go faster. This is not about speed. That's not what the Gemara is trying to say. The Gemara is not going in how many actual times. It's the effort that you're putting in that 100 times turns into 101. That's the effort that we're talking about. And that is double. The Oved Elokim is double the Eino Avdo, the one who doesn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what makes him so great. He does 11 parses in a day when you can only do 10. It makes no sense, but he does it. He pushed himself. He worked harder, and he did it. The Chofetz Chaim, in Torah Abayis, Perek Vav, has a little note on the bottom, and he says it extremely clearly. He says, we're not trying to tell you that a person who learns more than his friend is greater than his friend. That's Pashat. Both of them are learning the same amount, but one put more effort in, and that's called 101 times. The 101 times is not the quantity. It might not even be the quality. It's the effort that's put forth. What kind of effort are you putting into it? You can have a morning prayer, and you can finish all of your Amarim Mekomos in 27 minutes, and spend the rest of the time outside doing whatever, or I'll tell you even what. You can even go through it, and you can go through those Amarim Mekomos again and again for another 27 minutes, and then another 27 minutes, and then another 27 minutes. But if you don't put as much effort in as the other person, who put in a ton of effort but still didn't finish the Amarim Mekomos, the effort is what's going to make that person into an Oved Elokim in comparison to Asher Lo Avado. That's what changes everything. And that's what we're learning from this Gemara. It's nothing to do with anything else. It has nothing to do with business practices and me getting charged double for a day that I never took on my car. It's not what it is. It's not what it is. That's a business practice. That's a cheating business practice. And I hate O'Hare parking. That has nothing to do with it. It entirely has to do with what a person wants to get out of what he's doing. What do you want to do? What do you want to be? Is it an Oved Elokim or a Asher Lo Avado? after Rabbi Keller was talking to us about this, and we're adding on one to the other. Rabbi Robinson said that Rabbi Waxman spoke a few weeks ago in Chicago. Now, I didn't get to go to this particular speech, but somebody had told me about what it was. I believe it was somebody here in Yeshiva who went and told me the basic gist of it. For those who know this, just sort of keep it to yourselves for now, but I looked it up. It's 100% true. Not that I had any doubts about Rabbi Waxman. I wanted the exact quotes. Not that I have any doubts about that. I thought that maybe in the retelling, it might have been embellished a little bit. That was my suspicion. That if people are telling over Rabbi Waxman said what he heard from somebody, I was a little afraid there might have been some embellishing that somebody was saying, but there's nothing. So here's what happened. He said over a story, this was a few weeks ago here in Chicago. He said over a story that he heard from a person, a rabbi, a friend of his, who went to a hotel somewhere in the United States and saw a bunch of really tall guys walking around. He saw they were all around the lobby, big guys, and they were signing autographs and people were by them. So he went over to somebody who was about his height, and he went over to him and he said, "Do you know what's going on here?" And he said, "Yes. This is a basketball team." He said, "What basketball team is it?" He said, "These are the San Antonio Spurs." So he said, "Do you work with them?" He said, "I'm their coach." It was Greg Popovich. For those who are not in the know, you don't have to be, but it was Greg Popovich who this rabbi was talking to, and he was interested. Greg Popovich was interested in talking to a rabbi. So the rabbi said, he asked them about the team and about what they do. San Antonio has a team. What's in San Antonio? It's a good question. Some really sharp questions. Said to him, "How do you motivate your players to do well?" Well, first he asked them, sorry, I forgot one thing. He said, "Are you a successful team? Are you a successful team?" You know, I'm sure. The good old Pops was like, "Yeah. We win championships. Go to the playoffs every year." I don't think, I might be wrong about this, I don't think Tim Duncan has ever gone a year in the NBA without making the playoffs. Somebody could check that up later on a non-phone thingy. Computers, that's what they call them now. So if somebody wants to check that up later, you can check it up. I'm pretty sure, though, that Tim Duncan has gone every year of his career making the playoffs. Meaning Popovich, who's been there the whole time, right, who has never missed the playoffs, and they've won, I don't know, 700 championships during that time. Right? During that time. So yeah, are you successful? He said, "Yeah, we're successful." He said, how do you motivate your players? How do you get them in there? So Popovich told them what he's told other people before, that they have a sign in their locker room. And the locker room sign says the following: "When nothing seems to help, I go look at a stone cutter hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times without as much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it will split in two, and I know it was not that blow that did it, but all that had been done before." That's the sign in the Spurs locker room. Isn't that unbelievable? This is known by Manu Ginobili. You can't even think of a worse name. This is known by Tony Parker. You're talking about Frenchmen and Spaniards and guys from America. People all around are sitting there and they're looking up, and everybody buys into the system. They say that the Spurs system, there's a guy who just made free agency. He went to the Spurs for like 1/10 of the money that he could get elsewhere because he wants to work with these players. He wants to work with Pops. He wants to win. So guys willing to take hundreds, we can't even imagine what this is like. We think of like, well, yeah, what's the difference? He's still making $60 million. This guy can make $200 million and he's taking $60 to work for a coach. That's crazy. That's nuts. I should slap him in the face. But he understands there's a system. And the system is run by Chazal. You hear that? The system is run by Maimari Chazal. It's a Gemara and Chagiga testament base. And they're looking up at this. And they're Chagiga, that's good. They're looking up at this. And their success, he attributes his success to this sign. So the rabbi turned to him and said, "You know, that's a Maimari Chazal. There's two parts of this Maimari Chazal. There's the Maimari Chazal of like a person chiseling at the rock. He's like Rabbi Akiva with the water going into the rock. That's the first part. That's a Maimari Chazal. That's how Rabbi Akiva started becoming the person that he was." So funny, because they said the coach started calling over all the assistant coaches and said, "Listen to this rabbi. Listen to what the rabbi's telling us. You know that sign. Listen to what he's saying." And the second part is that it's the Maimari of it's Na'ino Domen. If somebody goes over 100 times to the 101st time, It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Ma'amar Chazal are so potent they can cause championship basketball teams. That's what it can do. I am in awe of that story and in awe of how it fits into what really what the Chofetz Chaim is saying. It's not the 101st time. It's not about the last one. It's amazing. Whoever wrote this sign, I don't know who it is, they attributed it to some random guy. Whoever it is that said this, who learned this Ma'amar Chazal, I'm positive it's a Jew. Not only, he learned the Gemara correctly. He got shot in the Marsha. He got shot in the Torah's bias of the Chofetz Chaim. He looked at the Marsha and he said, it doesn't mean he did it 101st time. There's no mileage in doing something. Well, there is mileage, obviously, but that's obviously a mileage if you do it 101 times. It's that in the span of time that you do 100, you do 101. It's the whole gamut of everything you've done that allows it to happen. It's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. It's truly one of the most unbelievable things. And I was sitting there at that wedding, and I missed the entire meal, basically, by sitting there around. And we added on, there's more, obviously there's more, there's always more. We added on from one thing to the other, getting from one thing to the other to go through, and just sitting there. And I said, it's true. How much effort do you put into the little things in life that allow us to become the people that we are? And when the effort is just enough to survive, then you'll never be the San Antonio Spurs, you'll be the Detroit Pistons. Shkoyach on being those guys. Or even worse, like a team in New Orleans or something. Like, you could be called the Pelicans. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to be that guy. That doesn't make you horrible. You're just not an Oved Elokim. You're a tzaddik. You're just not an Oved Elokim. You still made the NBA. Shkayach on that. Still getting millions of dollars. You still are getting that. That's 100% true. But you're not an Oved Elokim. That's what we're saying. You're not an Oved Elokim. Don't you want to be an Oved Elokim? Don't you want to do it that 101st time, not to go over again, but to put in that effort that it will be 101 times instead of 100? Well, that means you're going to have to work. You don't get it just based on talent alone. And talent is not going to take you very far when it comes to things in life. Sit there and say to yourself, how much more am I going to put forth? How much effort? How much work? What am I going to do to make it that I understand this Ma'amar Chazal the same way that Tim Duncan understands this Ma'amar Chazal? What can I do to make this a little bit better? And I'm sure everyone can come up with tons of answers for this. But think about it. Consider it for a second. See what you can come up with. Have a good week, everybody.